Sometimes when something happens that is, you know, very powerful, outstanding, you remember, no matter how long ago it was. Just like everybody in America remembers, at least those who are alive now, what they were doing when John F. Kennedy was shot. That was in 1962. I still remember what I was doing when I got the news. It's just interesting when something really powerful, but at the same time not very pleasant, happens. This microphone doesn't want to listen. You have a tendency to remember that. Okay. So this will speak a little bit about Srivas Pandit. This is from Adi Leela, chapter 10, verse number 8. Can you bring it up? It's not working? Okay. All right, so it's easy to follow. Srivas Pandit Ara.
Srivas Pandit Ara.
Sri Rama Panditi Pandita.
Sri Rama Pandita.
Dui Bai Dui Saka.
Dui Bai Dui Saka.
Jagate Vidita.
Jagate Vidita.
I'll announce him. Srivas Pandit Ara, Sri Rama Pandita, Dui Bai Dui Saka, Jagate Vidita. Word for word, Srivas Pandit.
Srivas Pandit.
Srivas Pandit.
Ara.
And. Sri Rama Pandit.
Sri Rama Pandit.
Dui Bai.
Dui Bai.
Two brothers. Dui Saka, two branches, Jagate, in the world, well, Vidita, well known. Translation. The two brothers, Srivas Pandit and Sri Ram Pandit, started two branches of the Chaitanya tree that are well known in the world. Purport. In Agora Gonadesh Deepika, verse 90, Srivas Pandit, Srivas Thakur, is described as an incarnation of Narada Muni, and Sri Ram Pandit, his younger brother, is said to be an incarnation of Parvat Muni, a great friend of Narada's. Srivas Pandit's wife, Malini, is celebrated as an incarnation of the nurse, Ambika. Who fed Lord Krishna with her breast milk. And as already noted, his niece, Narayani, was the mother of Thakur Vrindavandas, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, and the sister of Ambika in Krishna Leela. We also understand from descriptions of the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order, Srivas Pandit left Navadvip, possibly because of feelings of separation, and domiciled in Kormahatta. Sripati Srinirithara Dui Sohodaram Chara Bhara Dasa Dasi Griha Bharikara. These two brothers were named Sripati and Srinidhi. These four brothers and their servants and maidservants are considered one of the big branch. Dui sakara upasakaya tansabara ganana yaha griha maha prabhur prabhura sada sankirtana. There is no counting the sub-branches of these two branches. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held congregational chanting daily at the house of Srivas Pandit. Umayyam Timurandasya Kirajana Salakaya Chaksu Unvili Tanyayla Tasmaya Sri Garabe Maha Namahum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namne Namaste Saraswati Devai Om Namah Pacharine
Chesa Sunya Bhavi Pasyatya Vishakarya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So, Panchatattvam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa, Svarupakam, Bhakta Avataram, Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakti Shakti Kam. So, these five make up what is known as the five truths of the Absolute Truth. Srivas is the, what is called here, the incarnation of Jiva Shakti, and that's why he is also Narada Muni, come again, it's mentioned here. His brother, one of his younger brothers, there were five brothers in the family. There was Sripati, Srinidhi, Srivas, and Sriram, Pandit. And then there was Nalini. Nalini you don't hear so much about. Nalini was an older brother that died before actually Lord Chaitanya appeared. And Nalini, his daughter was Narayani, who was the one that was the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So these five brothers, four of them we know. Nalini we don't hear much about because there's no record of his activities. At least that's mentioned here. But the house of Srivas Pandit became the place where Lord Chaitanya performed many pastimes. It was his favorite place for doing Harinam, especially in the evening. And there are many interesting stories that center around that. Well, Lord Chaitanya, we all know how much he loved to do Sankirtan. In fact, he came to bring the Sankirtan movement to the world, purify the world through this process. Golokirya Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. Sankirtan is the essence of all spiritual activities. And it's the way to purify not only oneself, but everything in this world. And whatever there it says in one place, whatever there mellows of Sankirtan is being performed, then what is the need for anything else? There's no need for anything else. Because when Sankirtan is there, everything is there. It's Radha and Krishna. In their most magnificent, merciful form, in the form of their own holy names. So Lord Chaitanya, who is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahyanya, he is Krishna, but he has the quality and nature and color of Srimati Radharani. So he presented that Sankirtan movement as the essence of all spiritual practice in this age. You know, Prabhupada really wanted us to do Sankirtan as much as possible. I remember in the old days, there were devotees who were organizing Sankirtan groups and would go out all day just on Sankirtan. In the early days, Prabhupada emphasized Sankirtan so much. The average temple was doing 12 hours of Sankirtan, 10 to 12 hours of Sankirtan a day. And you can see, if you see the old Bhakti Godhead magazines, the ones in the very beginning, practically all the photos in the magazines, the devotees doing Sankirtan in different parts of the world. So Prabhupada knew how to spread the movement fast. He didn't emphasize that in India so much, because he thought the Indian people would not appreciated, thinking we were just beggars out in the streets who had no jobs and were just trying to panhandle some money so they could get something to eat. So Prabhupada didn't really emphasize that. Now we are doing Sankirtan more and more in India than before, because our movement now is established and people know who we are, and rather than who they think we are. people used to think of us in so many ways. They used to think we were CIA agents coming from America to spy on India. Yeah. That went to Congress, that went into the Parliament of India. There was discussions in that. And there were people who were determined to make the emphasis. But the Parliament, after hearing many arguments, said, we have concluded that there is no evidence that they are CIA agents. How many CIA agents can sleep on the ground, follow four regulative principles, and eat only khichdi? So, that was one way that they concluded. But it was obvious it was not. So people thought we were from different. But even in the Western world, when we did Sankirtan, they used to think of us in so many different ways. people from another planet who had descended in their strange outfit, their, what do you say, unconventional haircut. And so many things. We were seen in different ways. Prabhupada said, when we were in the beginning, he said, first they will laugh at you, which they did. They used to laugh at us all the time. And then they will hate you. And then they will love you. So we're somewhere between the love-hate stage right now. You know, many people do love us, and there's still those who have that negative attitude. So our movement has evolved to the process of the Sankirtan movement, which has really established everything that we needed in order to develop a superstructure, which means temples, you know, farm communities, restaurants, schools, and various educational programs in around the world, which are now more than 1,000 all around the world. So, yeah, it was the Sankirtan movement that was the foundation to bring in all auspiciousness. And, of course, purify the devotees and to purify the world to at least as much as we did it. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized in his process of teaching pure devotional service. And he would love to dance. He would love to sing. No, not so much singing. He would love to dance and he would love to play kartals. Usually he let the disciples sing. He would sing sometimes, but not very much. It was mostly Mukunda who was singing, or it was, who else, Gadadhar Pandit, who else, Madhvaita, he would also sing. many others, there were many good singers in Lord Chaitanya's ensemble. And Lord Chaitanya would love to do Sankirtan as much as possible, so at one time he declared that every night in the house of Srivas Pandit, when those of us who were more intimate devotees would gather for Harinam Sankirtan, they would start in the evening around sundown, and they would go all the way to the morning for sun. They would start at sundown and end at sunrise. That was the way they calculated their time. And there was many stories, and Srivas Pandit's mother-in-law, she wasn't allowed in. Many people weren't allowed in. She wanted to see it, so she came and she hid behind a big basket. She covered herself with a basket. But she was caught, because as soon as Lord Chaitanya would sing and dance, then all of a sudden, if there was someone who was not pure there, he could feel that energy, and immediately he would stop and say, who's here that shouldn't be here? And he would always call Srivas, and Srivas would say, my dear Lord, there's no one here that shouldn't be here. No, you go look. And he would look around, and there was his mother-in-law hiding behind a basket. And he would take her out and escort her out the door. He was very dedicated to Lord Chaitanya's happiness. So if there's any disturbance with Lord Chaitanya's singing and dancing, he would do whatever he could to correct it. It's like when his son died. His son was 4 years old. The boy had some disease and he died in the house during the evening when Lord Chaitanya was doing kirtan. And the ladies in the back of the house, because they had a separate place for the residents, they were crying. And Srivas Thakur inquired, "Why are you crying? Your son died." "That's all right, but don't cry so loud. You'll disturb this in Lord Chaitanya." So then he went back. And then after 9.5 hours, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped. No, I'm sorry, not that. 7.5 hours, he stopped and he said, "Srivas, I think there's some calamity happened here." And Srivas responded, "My dear Lord, what calamity could possibly happen with you here? But since you asked, my son died." "Oh, really? Where is he?" "In the back. Take me." So he went, and the boy was there. And the boy was laying on the bed. He had left his body. The relatives were crying quietly. And Lord Chaitanya walked over to the boy and put his hand on the boy's chest. The boy got up, looked around, and Lord Chaitanya spoke to him and said, "My dear son of Srivas, where did you go?" The boy started, responded, "It was my time up in this body, and by your arrangement, I'm going on to my next destination." And he spoke the absolute truth to everyone, that the soul is different than the body. And everyone became a little bit sober and pacified. And then the boy lay down and left his body again. So the Lord did that just to give transcendental knowledge to everyone. And the Lord was so grateful to Srivas, and Srivas didn't even say anything, although his son died, not to disturb Lord Chaitanya's dancing. That Lord Chaitanya's living only or by doing vigorous penance, the Lord said. "Do you not know that I am above the three qualities, sattva, tama, and rajas? A person who keeps company with Sudabhakta like you, with a serving attitude, can only become free from anarthas or obstacles for attaining me. And he only becomes benefit by getting my darshan and listening to sankirtan conducted by me," Mahaprabhu was saying. In this context, okay, then there's a diversion away from that. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to explain how, let's see. After hearing this chastisement from Mahadev, the Brahmachari left the place out of fear. But he considered himself very fortunate, because he could listen at least something of the sankirtan of Mahaprabhu, and he was not disappointed, and he also got darshan. And the most munificent Mahaprabhu, who is the indwelling super soul in the hearts of everyone, who knows everything, understood the heart of the Brahmachari. And by seeing the favor of Srivas Pandit on the Brahmachari, he called the Brahmachari and showered his blessings on him. The Lord advised him for doing Hari Bhajan under the guidance of Premaka Bhakta foregoing all of his ideas of tapasya. But he gave him his mercy after, because the Brahmachari was very humble, accepted the chastisement without complaining, and was feeling grateful for the Lord's darshan. So we see in that example how he accepted chastisement without feeling bad or even complaining. He simply considered it a blessing And by doing that, he got the benefit of the Lord. And of course, because of Srivas too. And there are many stories in the house of Srivas Pandit. The Lord performed the Mahakash Leela. 21 hours, he gave out blessings to anyone and everyone. And Mahaprabhu was very, what we say, inclined to Srivas a lot. He would always come to his house for programs, for associating with devotees. One time he said to Srivas, you know, you don't work. You don't have a job. How do you live? You have a big family. It was four brothers with their wives and all, and children also, all living in one house. Nobody worked. And the Lord said, how do you live? How do you eat? So Srivas responded in a very unusual way. He went three times. And the Lord was a little questionable. He said, what does that mean? Well, my dear Lord, one day, the Lord doesn't feed me. 2 days, if he doesn't provide for me and my family. 3 days, if we get nothing, after 3 days, then I jump into Ganges. In other words, I commit suicide. And the Lord, when he heard that, he roared. I mean, his roar shook the whole universe. And Lord Chaitanya would roar. It's like everything would fall. And he said right after that, even if the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, has to go from door to door begging for food, Lakshmi begging for food, even there will always be everything you need in your house. In other words, because you have complete faith that by doing bhakti yoga or devotional service, the Lord will provide everything, then that faith will carry you through. Now, I tell this story often, and I always look at the audience to see what kind of reactions they're going to give me for this story. And the idea is, if you don't have the faith, don't do it. But if you have the faith, it works. It's based on faith. To get that faith, of course, means to perform devotional service for an extended period of time, at least for a while. And then that faith builds that, yes, Krishna will always take care of me. Doesn't matter. I don't have to get a work to do anything else. Krishna will feed me. Even if I have a family, he will take care. And that's the fact. If we're doing devotional service, the Lord will always take care. That means not just devotional service, but serious devotional service. Not that once in a while, but continuously. And the Lord will provide everything. Because he's providing for everything, everyone. He's called Vishwambar. He provides for the whole universe. And he provides even for the non-devotees who don't worship him. He makes sure that they get their food because they're also his parts and parcels. So he takes care of them through the material energy. But for the devotees, he takes care of them directly. So how a devotee cannot be taken care of by the Lord if they're giving their life in devotional service? The Lord will automatically take care of the devotee. But you have to have that faith and that devotion. It's not something you can just do and expect, well, I'm not going to do nothing. I'll sit and read books all day and chant a few rounds. Okay, where's the food? No, you have to be engaged in devotional service, and you also have to have that faith that, you know, Rakhe Krishna Mori Ke Mori Krishna Rakhe Ke. Krishna wants to provide for you, protect you, supply everything you need. He can do that. And if he wants to completely neglect you, even if you work hard, you can't get anything. So the Lord is the supreme controller, supreme provider, supreme maintainer, supreme protector, supreme feature of all existence. When one surrenders to Krishna in devotional service, then one's life becomes perfect. Jai, Sri Sri Panchatattva Ki Jai. Now these are some stories about Srivas. One day, Advaitacharya said to all the devotees, let's have kirtan. Lord Chaitanya wasn't there at the time. But we're going to chant, we're not going to chant Hare Krishna. We're going to chant Gauranga. 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 Gauranga! And the devotees were thinking, Mahaprabhu's not going to like this. But he wasn't there. So Advaita, he was just getting all the devotees going, come on, let's chant. So they were chanting Gauranga, 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 like that. And then the kirtan really started to build really loud. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at a distance, but he heard the kirtan. So he started coming towards the kirtan. And he got closer and closer and closer and closer, and then he could hear, why are they not chanting Krishna's name? Then he listened. Oh, they're chanting. So Dvaitacharya and all the devotees, they saw the Lord there. And the devotees stopped, and Dvaitacharya said, no, don't stop, come on, chant, 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 Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. So he was really getting them going. And the devotees were like, half of them were doing it, half of them were doing it half-heartedly. But because they knew Mahaprabhu didn't like that. And Mahaprabhu was looking, and then at one point he just turned around, went back to his place, lay down, closed the door, and went to sleep. And then he got up a little later, and Srivas was there to greet him. And then he said to Srivas, what are the devotees doing? Why are they not chanting Krishna's name? Why are they chanting this other name? And then Srivas went like this. This was daytime. The sun was out. Srivas went, put his hand in front of the sun. And Lord Chaitanya said, what are you doing? He said, I'm blocking the sun out. And Chaitanya said, you can't do that. And then Srivas said, and yes, that's true, but you can't hide yourself from us. So he wanted to show that, yeah, the devotees know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, of course, in this particular Leela, he didn't want that emphasized because he knew people would also surreptitiously or pretentiously say, well, I'm God. So in order to destroy that, even though he was God, he acted as a devotee of God to teach the position of devotion from the position of the devotee of God and not from God. These are some of the pastimes of Srivas Thakur. Well, there are many others. During the Ratha Yatra, Srivas Thakur was there. And Srivas Thakur was also one of the lead dancers when Lord Chaitanya divided the group of dance devotees into seven groups. There was a lead dancer and a lead singer in every group. Dvaitacharya was the lead dancer in one group. Nityananda was the lead dancer. Haridas Thakur was the lead dancer in one group. Srivas was also the lead dancer. And then there was Parvakeshwar Pandit also. And then there were lead singers such as Mukunda And who else? Can't think of all of the different singers. The devotees from Kugalina Grama were also there. And the devotees, the Lord divided the groups, and Srivas, he was the lead dancer in one of the groups. So Srivas Thakur, he is Narada Muni. One time Lord Chaitanya performed a dramatic play where he took the part of who was that? Rukmini. I think it was Rukmini. Yeah. The Lord was playing the part of a lady, one of his chief queens in the play. It was a play on Dwarka. And he played the part so good, his mother's looking and she's thinking, who's that playing the part of Rukmini? She couldn't even recognize her own son. And they said, Sachi, that's your son, Nimai. No. Yeah. He looks so beautiful. So he could be a girl or a boy, he was so beautiful in that sense. His features were so pleasing and so sweet. And in that same play, Srivas played the part of Narada Muni, which is his own real identity, because we know that the identity of all of the Panchatattva is a little different than they play in the role when they come before Chaitanya. Nityananda is Balaram, Gadadhar is combination of Sridhar, Srimati Radharani and Lalita Shakti, both two energies of the Gopi Lila in one. Advaita is Sadashiva, the original Shiva, and Mahavishnu. And of course Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So all of them are manifesting different aspects of the Absolute Truth in their different role as they play the role of spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. So one who worships Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva is worshipping the highest form of bhakti, because the Supreme Personality Godhead has manifested himself in five forms of himself just to teach the whole process of pure devotional service from different angles of vision. And Prabhupada would say, the Mayavadis say God is one. We say, no, God is five. Panchatattva makam krishnam bhakta rupa sarupakam bhakta avataram bhakta kyam namami bhakti shaktikam. So the Lord manifests himself in five features of himself in order to play different, to exhibit different aspects of the Absolute Truth, which is multifaceted. And Srivas is one of them. See, there is many other pastimes of Srivas also. These are the ones that are, I can recall. One day, Lord Chaitanya ordered Srivas Thakur to read Brihat Sarasyanam, the thousands of names of Vishnu, for he wanted to hear them at that time. As Srivas read the thousand names of the Lord, in due course of time, the holy name of Lord Nrisinga appeared. When Lord Chaitanya heard the holy name of Lord Nrisinga, he became fully absorbed in thought.
In the mood of Lord Nrisimhadeva, Lord Chaitanya ran through the streets, club in hand, ready to kill all the atheists. He doesn't fool around. Seeing him appearing in the very feast ecstasy of Lord Nrisimhadeva, people ran from the street and fled here and there, afraid of his anger. Seeing the people so afraid, the Lord came to his external senses and thence returned to the house of Srivas and threw away the club. The Lord became morose and said to Srivas, the Kaur, when I adopted the mood of Lord Nrisimhadeva, people were greatly afraid. Therefore I stopped, since causing fear among people is an offense. Srivas Thakur replied, anyone who takes your holy name vanquishes 10 millions of his offenses immediately. There was no offense in you appearing as Nrisimhadeva. Rather, any man who saw you in that mood was immediately liberated from the bondage of material existence. After saying this, Srivas Thakur worshipped Lord the Lord, who was then greatly satisfied and returned to his own home. So here's an example. How a devotee of the Lord knows how to say things to the Lord to make the Lord happy or pleased. This is the duty of the servants, to pacify the spiritual master, to pacify the Lord. They also say that. That's their duty, that they see that the spiritual master has some concern, is having some trouble, the disciples will do something to relieve that. That is their service, generally. So we see here, Srivas could have just said, yes, my Lord, you scared everybody. They all ran, but he didn't. He said, no, they were all greatly benefited, because anyone who saw that you would be liberated from material. And that made the Lord feel good, because he was feeling bad that he had caused fear into the hearts of people. But Srivas explained that anyone who saw you, he's liberated. So there was no offense. Okay, so these are... Let's see, I can find something else for Srivas Thakur here. And many stories here. Lord Sri Krishna, before appearing as Lord Chaitanya, requested these devotees to precede him. Sri Sanchi Mata, Jagannath Misra, Madhavendra Puri, Keshava Bharati, Ishwara Puri, Advaita Acharya, Srivas Pandit, Acharya Ratna, Vidyanidhi, and Thakur Haridas. I'll mention them. These are the ones that have preceded the Lord before he appeared in the world. And they set the stage for the Lord's appearance. Acharya Ratna. They were all exhibiting great happiness when they saw when the Lord actually appeared. So it says here, Acharya Ratna and Srivas Thakur were overwhelmed with joy and immediately went to the bank of the Ganges to bathe in her waters as soon as the Lord appeared. Their minds full of happiness, they chanted the Hare Krishna mantra and gave charity by mental strength. This is all because of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Chandrasekhar Acharya and Srivas Thakur both came to Jagannath Misri and drew his attention in many ways. But this is all doing say, perform the ritualistic ceremony prescribed at the time of birth according to the principles. This is young when the Lord actually appeared in the world. Okay. Srivasta core worship Lord Chaitanya by the process of Abhishek. And sitting on the cot, the Lord exhibited transcendental opulence. Some of them were bathing the Lord. At this function at the house of Srivas, Nityananda appeared, and when he met with Lord Chaitanya, he got the opportunity to see the Lord in his six-armed form of Satbhuj. Okay, I think I covered most of them. There's a few thousand more here. Oh, the story of Gopal Chapel. That's a nice story. I'll read that. 1737. This is a very important pastime. Lord Chaitanya regularly held congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra in the house of Srivas every night for full 1 year. This ecstatic chanting was performed with doors closed so that non-believers who came to make fun could not gain entrance. Thus the non-believers almost burned to ashes and died out of envy. To retaliate, they planned various ways to give trouble to Srivas. One night, while kirtan was going on in the house of Srivas Thakur, a brahmana named Gopal Chapala, the chief of the non-believers, who was talkative and very rough in his speech, placed all of the paraphernalia for worshipping Goddess Durga outside the house of Srivas Thakur's door. Purport. This brahmana, Gopal Chapa, wanted to defame Srivas by proving that he was actually a worshiper of Bhavani, the goddess of fortune, but was externally posing himself as a Vaishnava. In Bengal, there is a perpetual competition between the devotees of goddess Kali and the devotees of Lord Krishna. Generally, Bengalis, especially those who are meat-eaters and drunkards, are very much attached to worshipping goddess Durga, Kali, Sitala, and Chandi. Such devotees who are known as Shaktas. The worshippers of the Shakti Tattva are always envious of the Vaishnavas. Since Srivas Thakur was a well-known and respected Vaishnava in Navadvip, Gopal Chapala wanted to reduce his prestige by bringing him down to the platform of the Shaktas. Therefore, outside Srivas Thakur's door, he placed various paraphernalia for worshipping Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, such as a red flower, a plantain leaf, a pot of wine, and reddish sandalwood paste. In the morning, when Srivas Thakur saw all the paraphernalia in front of the door, he called for the respectable gentlemen of the neighborhood and showed them that at night he was worshipping Bhavani. Very sorry, these gentlemen caused for a sweeper to cleanse the place and purify it by sprinkling it with cow dung. This incident concerning Gopal Chapala is mentioned in detail in Chaitanya in Bhagavatam. What happened was, after 3 days, because of his offense to Srivas Thakur, he came down with leprosy. And because of the leprosy, he could not live in the community anymore. So he resided near the Ganges by himself. After about a month, Lord Chaitanya came walking by that same place. The Gopal Chapala saw the Lord, fell at the Lord's feet and asked for
that please relieve me, I'm suffering so much from this leprosy. And the Lord looked at him and said, you think you're suffering now? This is just the beginning. You have offended Srivas. And therefore, the Lord didn't tolerate that. And he just walked on. So, nothing happened. But 3 months later, the Lord walked by again, the same place. And this time, Gopal Chapla was really, really, really repentant. You know, it takes a little suffering sometimes for a person to wake up. Suffering is sometimes good. Many times it's good because it helps bring one person down to how they're supposed to think and act. When we're not suffering, we sometimes exhibit certain characteristics and qualities that are not very conducive to devotional life, such as pride or envy or ridicule or neglect. But when we suffer, then we're looking for help, we're looking for some relief. And then we become a little bit, we're forced to become humble. So this is what happened. And then this time, he asked the Lord again. The Lord said, I can't free you from this, but if you go to Srivas, he can. So he went to Srivas Thakur, fell at his feet, in the most pitiable and sorrowful way he begged forgiveness, and Srivas forgave him. And because he forgave him, right after that all his leprosy was gone, and then he wanted to take initiation from Srivas. And Srivas said, well, I'm not giving initiation. But you go to this Vamsidhari, this other devotee, who was giving initiation, and he pointed him in that direction. And so he went to Vamsidhari, and Vamsidhari accepted Gopal Chapala and initiated him, gave him the name Devendra. I think his name was something like that. And Deva something. Can't remember. And that Gopal Chapala, who was now initiated as Devananda or Davis, I can't remember his name. He writes the most beautiful poetry, glorifying the devotees of the Lord. All his writings are about how great the devotees of the Lord are. And if you read those poems, it's just amazing how first envious, offensive to the devotees, after getting suffering, which led him to get the mercy, after he got the mercy, became completely changed. And now, not only was he not thinking anything negative about devotees, he was just, all he could do was glorify the devotees. And that's what it means to be a devotee, to see that the devotees, to be in the association of the devotees means to be in the best association. Because that association brings you to Krishna. Without devotee association, you can't do it. It's not possible. You can chant, you can read, you can do whatever you want. But unless you take set regular association with devotees, your bhakti won't develop. Just won't develop. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya has made that the feature of how we should develop in our Krishna consciousness. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. Sarva Sastri Hoi, Lavamata Sadhu Sanghe, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. When we associate with and serve devotees and develop friendship with devotees, we are in the spiritual family, in the right consciousness. This is what requires. Then you can chant the holy names. Then the philosophy makes sense and becomes clear. Then everything becomes. It's all by, so that's why Prabhupada used to say, three things are important in Krishna consciousness. Association, association, association. You could remember those three? He made that point, said that, just to emphasize how important it is. Because there's an old saying, tell me who you associate with and I'll tell you who you are. So by your association, you develop certain characteristics, qualities, ideas, feelings, desires and goals in life. So when we associate with devotees, then we center everything around Krishna and Krishna's service. And that is the happiness of the devotee. Devotee association. Okay, so I think that's pretty much what I got on Srivas. There's more here, but it's a little after 9. Devotees are fasting today?
No.
This is the only place in the world that they fast on the one of the Panchatattva's appearance. Well, of course, it's good. We fast and, they don't do it anywhere else in the world. They only fast on Advaita, Nityananda, and Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar and Srivas, we don't fast on. But if it's the policy of the temple, go with it. Because the temple policy is the policy of how you make advancement. So fasting is feasting and feasting is fasting. And when you fast, the next meal is always better than before. Something you have a tendency to relish more. So good. Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions? Comments? Srivas Thakur, yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for listening
to the lecture. Okay. We have a microphone. Microphone. Where's the microphone? Microphone. No microphone. Well, just speak loud.
Hare Krishna. I would like to know what change from Kirtan to Srivas Pandit house, where non-devotees were not allowed, women were not allowed, and later on everybody could Kirtan.
Well, these were special. These were special programs that the Lord would have every night. He would do kirtan throughout the day in the streets with his devotees. Throughout most of the day, they would do kirtan. But at night, he would have these special ones, and to keep out the atheists, the non-devotees, people who were not really developed in devotional service. The Lord really absorbed himself in the ecstasy of kirtan at that time. But these were special only in the house of Srivas and only in the evening. They would start, as I mentioned, when the sun went down, and then they would stop when the sun came up. Mentions here, they keep out the non-devotees. But during the day, the Lord was very merciful. He would go out and chant amongst everybody, invite everyone to take part in kirtan. And, as it says here, people would heckle him or make fun of him during the day with his devotees. But he wouldn't think much of it, and he'd continue with kirtan. But when he had those private programs, he didn't want these people there. He wanted to absorb himself in the ecstasy of kirtan. So during the day, he did it with his devotees, but he did it to benefit everyone. In the evening, was for his own, was more of the internal mood.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Can you tell us about more elaborate about the association with devotees? Is this also including the association with materialistic devotees or the fixed one that are serious in their practice?
Yeah, it says that materialistic devotees, you should honor them in the mind. You can offer your obeisances to them in the mind. But generally, we don't associate with materialistic devotees. Devotees who perform devotional service in order to somehow or other further their material life. To get something material from devotional service. But devotional service is not meant for that, but because everything is centered around the Lord, people can also come to the Lord for, you know, material benefits. That's very common. Not only common, it's quite prolific everywhere. People want something material from Krishna consciousness. And after a while, if they get it, they become happy, and some of them stay, and others go away, and then because they got what they wanted. But they're not restricted to come, but at the same time, if you really want to make advancement, you have to associate with people who are on your same level, or people who are more advanced, either one. But in an assembly of people like this, anybody can come in. But association is by consciousness. It's not so much by physical proximity. The flea, the bug sits on the king. But is the king associating with the bug? No. There's no connection. And so it's by... When we want to associate, we have to be in that mood of devotion, mood of service, mood of learning, that mood of service, that mood of learning, that mood of devotion. That's association. Physical proximity will give you that opportunity, but it's not the success. You could be sitting here and you could be 100 miles away, you know, thinking of pizza somewhere in Italy, you know. And then you're not here. You're wherever your mind is, that's where you are. So every time your mind goes to, you know, something else, just bring it back. There's a story in relationship to that. It's told by, I think it was Prabhupada, but I heard it back in the old days. Two boys are going to the prostitute. They're on their way, and they pass it along a kirtan program. So one of the boys said, "Oh, there's a devotee who's doing kirtan. I'm going to go. I'm not going to go to a prostitute." Well, his friend said, "Ah, I'm not going. You go." So he went on to the prostitute. The other boy went to the kirtan. And while the boy's in the kirtan, he's thinking, "Boy, you know, here I am. And I could have been in the prostitutes enjoying like crazy." And the other boy who's in the prostitute's house, he's thinking, "Boy, my friend's really intelligent. He's doing something for his spiritual benefit. Here I am wasting my time with this sinful life." You are where your consciousness is. Say that again. I didn't catch the last few words.
Can we go to the prostitutes if we're in good consciousness?
Well, Mukunda will become Michael again, right? Is it Michael? Something. Okay. No. Well, the point of that story is it's an analogy. It's a message. that wherever your consciousness is, where it is, where you are. And that's a fact. Yeah. You know, I can sit here and watch, look at class, give class, and I can see who's listening and who's not. And I know you're somewhere else. It's easy to see when you give class, you can see who's with you and who's not. And who's with you sometimes and who's with me in and out, you know. It's easy to see. Can't hide. So that's why it says the process of listening means to destroy the faults of the mind, which means bring the mind back to the process of hearing. It's like when we're in kirtan, the mind wanders also. They say, close your eyes for a minute and then simply hear and bring your consciousness back to the sound of the holy name, and then you're back into in the kirtan again. So wherever your consciousness is where you are. That's why you can be Krishna conscious even this in the material world. Yeah. Okay. Is it Franjo?
Yes.
Is that right? Did I say it right?
Yeah. Thank you for lecturing. I would say like this hypothetical question.
Okay.
If a community chastises you that you are not capable of doing anything, and you are aware actually that you must serve community, how to approach this situation?
And who is the community? Is that one person or?
I don't know. Maybe a team of people or something like this. Not really the whole yatra, maybe more.
If you're talking about devotional service, then all you have to do is prove yourself. All right, I came. I came to learn. I came to serve. Prabhupada says, you come to learn, learn to serve. We're not jnanis. We simply collect philosophical knowledge. We serve. We serve the Lord. We don't serve the Lord, then we have to serve the material energy. So, therefore, when we come in association with devotees, we should be ready to offer service at any time. And we should also think, how can I serve? I mean, coming in the beginning, we hear. You know, we get here, we start to hear, we understand more and more. Then we think, well, you know, they're all, devotees are serving different ways. They're cooking, they're cleaning, they're worshiping, they're going out on sankirtan. Let me become part of that. And then you're engaged in service. Then they're in the acts of performing the activities of devotional service. Collecting knowledge philosophically may be in the beginning nice, just so you get a little understanding of what the whole thing is about and whether you want to take the next step or not. But just to stay on that level means that you won't make any advancement like that. You have to serve. Just like, give you an example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. One very prestigious person in the political field came to see Bhaktisiddhanta. But he came to Bhaktisiddhanta. Maharaj was by himself. He said, Maharaj, I got some questions to ask you. Do you have time? He said, well, actually, no, I don't. But you can go to the pujaris and you can ask, let them ask, you can ask your questions to them. So he went to the pujaris, and the pujaris were cleaning the altar and doing all kinds of service for the deity. So he said, well, Guru Maharaj has sent me here, I got some questions. They said, all right, but we're busy right now, why don't you help us? You can polish the brass and the silver for the deities. So he thought, all right. So he sat down, and he was working, cleaning and doing it. And after everything was done, the devotee said, what is your questions? said, I don't have any questions, thank you very much. Got up, walked out, and he passed by Bhaktisiddhanta, and Bhaktisiddhanta said, did the pujaris answer your questions? Thank you, Maharaj, yes. Get the message? You want to understand this philosophy, you got to serve. You can't just read books. You can get some idea on how to read books. From reading books, you get ideas. But it becomes realized and it becomes part of you when you actually engage in service. Yeah. The karmis, they want to serve the material energy and enjoy. The jnanis, they want to study philosophy and be free from material suffering. But the devotees who want to serve the Lord and actually go back home, back to Godhead. So, and the yogis, they want to perform austerities so they can become powerful. But the devotees, they're happy to serve, that's all. So because service is the nature of the soul's existence. To serve is natural. Knowledge leads to service, austerity leads to service. Everything is meant to lead to service.
So just persisting that you would like serve and offering your
retirement. Yeah.
What happens after it happens?
The services are not so difficult.
What if somebody tells you you're not capable or you don't have references?
If you're serving, then are you capable or not? If you're dropping
that you are not qualified or you are everyone's too young or you're not enough time in bhakti yoga or...
Why, did you do something to allow that person to think like that? Well, if you haven't, then continue to serve. If somebody says something, you just talk to the temple president or the temple leaders and say, I want to do some service. I'm not so good at doing so many things, but I can do this and I can do this, or maybe you can suggest something I can do. You can always do something. Clean the temple floor. That's how we used to introduce people to Krishna consciousness. We'd say, all right, when you clean the temple, you're cleaning your heart, because the heart is the temple. So clean the temple, and this will help you to progress in devotional service. Cut vegetables sometimes in the kitchen, that helps. We used to give that to new people. People who are just coming. Cutting vegetables, cleaning that, or just doing some, you know, maybe construction work or something like that. Different things. But if you want to go on an altar and worship, you have to wait for that. That comes in time. Or if you want to give the Bhagavatam class, that may take a little time also. So, but there's always service. So, if someone is giving you, saying that, then you can question that. We allow everyone to serve. That's the whole idea, to bring people into service. Of course, sometimes people come to make trouble, but that's not you. Some people come to make trouble, and they want to dissociate with devotees so they can, you know, cause some problems. That happens too. But generally, you know, service is available. It is like a court of law. If you don't get any retribution on the lower court, you go to the higher court. Okay, so we stop. Okay. Thank you. Shri Vastakor ki jai.